I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Thanks for listening to the Prime Time with Isaac and Suk podcast, brought to you on the fan by your local Les Schwab Tire Center, doing the right thing since 1952.
Prime Time on 1080 The Fan. The basketball-a-palooza begins.
Newman's going to pull up for three, and he buries another one. Malik Newman giving Kansas the lead.
This is a tournament week edition of Prime Time with Isaac and Suk.
Brought to you by George McCoy, attorney with Warren Allen Attorneys at Law. Been injured in an accident? George McCoy can help you get the compensation you deserve. Go to warrenallen.com.
Prime Time on 1080 The Fan.
Hi-yo for 10. That means this is technically a two-minute segment.
Oh, yeah. Look at that.
But we'll give you more than that.
We went a little long on the whole Evan Turner thing.
A whole hour of hot Blazer talk.
That really was.
I mean, it, for the most part.
Yeah. I guess we dabbled in a little bit of you singing The Sound of Music. You went all Rop Von Trapp. But other than that, you know, we got into the Blazer stuff.
So Stockwatch is in our next segment. In the news at 4:30, I have a question to ax you.
Axed away.
I'll ask it in the news. But the woman who, you know, we were talking about that shootout with police over in Goose Hollow the other day?
Yeah.
That woman has been identified and her mugshot has been released and such.
Ooh, I have not seen this.
Boy, I tell you what, man.
Central casting?
Straight out of central casting. Mm. Like exactly what I had pictured. And I would like to talk about that.
Okay, because that's like with the lady, the sword, the samurai sword lady, the 911 attack.
Also.
Same sort of thing.
Yeah, it's like at what? Okay, we'll ask that in the news.
Put that on hold for now.
But also a space station may or may not hit Michigan. So we'll give you that news. Fire today.
Would anyone notice?
Did you see the big fire in Portland?
I did, the salvage yard fire.
Yeah. Quickly here, a big NFL.
Sorry, I just saw the mugshot.
Is that not exactly what you pictured?
Wow.
When you heard that a woman was.
That's more accurate than the samurai sword lady.
I agree.
At least the samurai sword lady had like green hair, and you're like, well, that's maybe a change of pace. This one, yeah, right up the alley.
So out of the NFL, Richard Sherman has signed with the Niners.
Yes, in a supposed vengeful signing.
Yeah,
that's what he called it.
So he had options, but he chose them because they're rivals at the Seahawks.
But I read the Monday,
is that what he's saying?
That's kind of what he's saying. But I read through the Monday Morning Quarterback piece that I don't know if you saw that, but Peter King basically laid out the fact that there wasn't really any options.
Well, that's kind of what I thought. The Niners called him, say, "Hey, we'll give you." They're giving him what, $13 million a year?
Well, no, if he's not making that
total, but he's incentive.
It's people are actually kind of being pretty critical of Richard Sherman. Remember, he acted as his own agent here.
Yeah,
and they're saying that the 49ers got over on him big time because the only way for Richard Sherman to make money is for Richard Sherman to play like 2008 Richard Sherman,
right?
And that probably isn't going to happen.
So if he had a real agent, that he would have got a much better deal.
Yes, with more guarantees. So basically what they're saying is that if Richard Sherman plays the way the old Richard Sherman did, he'll make the same money he was making in Seattle. He's going to make the $11 million a year, but that probably isn't going to happen, obviously, because he's, 30 years old and he has two Achilles injuries, and this isn't likely going to end well for him.
What is his deal? Why can't he – see, it was awesome watching him with the Seahawks. He's a great player.
Yeah.
Why so bitter? Is this our third instance of sensitive athlete today already? We were talking about Durant getting a fan kicked out and then Evan Turner and now this, like, is he like, what is up his ass?
Well, I think
it's just business, right?
It's business.
He knows that. He's smart.
But I think when athletes finally get told that they're not good enough or that you're not worth the money, you know, it's hard to. That's hard to accept. I mean, Richard Sherman has been the end-all, the be-all in corners in this league for the better part of, 6 years?
Yeah. No, I get that, but this happens all over the league, all the time, and you don't hear guys. I mean, guys, you know, I'm sure they think it or talk to their friends about it, but
athletes are thin-skinned. This is like the biggest, I don't know, the misnomer about athletes is that these athletes are confident guys. And no, they're not. Athletes are some of the most insecure people you'll ever come across in your entire life. And the way you deal with insecurity is by putting up the facade of confidence and bravado and kind of look at me and pound my chest. When in reality, they're all insecure because it can all be taken away tomorrow. And I think there's a real thing with that, with athletes, is you're on top of the world and you know that, A, it's fleeting because of time. Time is undefeated except in the case of Tom Brady or maybe Barry Bonds. But as you get older and you realize that there's more sand in the bottom of the hourglass than there is the top, I think guys really kind of get scared and they lash out.
Yeah, but I understand. But other guys take out ads in the paper thinking the fans.
Yeah.
And like, hey, I get it. It's, you know, we got to move on. It sucks. I want to be a Seahawk, but I love you. Thanks for all your – this guy's just –
Well, and the other thing, too, is remember Richard Sherman. So I guess it came down to San Francisco. It came down to Seattle. And I think Detroit was the other one.
Oh.
And if you read the Monday Morning Quarterback piece, that San Francisco basically said, look, you need to sign this. We've made some concessions to you. We've given you a lot of incentives. And if you don't sign it now, these aren't going to be on the table later. And Sherman was trying to delay this and try to get some time to think about it. And it sounds like San Francisco was saying, no, you need to sign this now. And Sherman excused himself, went in the hallway, called Seattle, and gave Seattle an opportunity to match what San Francisco had offered. And Schneider just said, no, the incentives are too rich. We're not doing it. Then he called Detroit, and Detroit said, no, not going to work out for us. Again, too rich for our blood. And then ultimately it came down to San Francisco that if he wanted the ability to make this much money, it had to be with San Francisco. And I think kind of the vengeful thing played a part in it, but also San Francisco was the only one that gave him the option to make a bunch of money if he played real well. And ultimately he ended up being a 49er. And you know, it's going to be interesting to see him in a San Francisco uniform and his reception when he goes back to Seattle, because this is kind of Brett Favre playing with Minnesota against Green Bay. This is a hated rival.
Hmm. That's going to be weird watching him as a Niner.
Yeah. But you know what? They can get rid of Richard Sherman basically after this year.
It's just going to be weird. Of all the teams, him going to the Niners, that's weird.
Yeah. But
especially because the Niners were the team. He was, remember the whole thing with Aaron Andrews?
Yes.
And Michael Crabtree? That was the Niners.
That was
game.
The Niners. And he kept them from the Super Bowl with the tip pass, which is one of the great moments in Seahawk history. But I think it is important to remember that Richard Sherman did give Seattle a chance to re-sign him, and Seattle said no. And I think Richard Sherman appropriately pointed out that he didn't want out of Seattle. They wanted him out of Seattle.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they want him. They just want him on their terms.
Yes.
And he ripped up his Achilles.
Yeah.
And he ripped up his other Achilles.
He had bone spurs in the other one. So he had major Achilles surgery on one, minor on the other, but is I think 30 years old and he's coming off two Achilles injuries.
I see Seattle's side of it easily.
Yes.
His side of it is just sour grapes. It's business. Move on.
Yeah, he'll be 30 this month.
All right, coming up next, it's our Stock Watch, what we're buying and selling from the weekend in sports on The Fan.
Side, call 1-800-D-I-V-O-R-C-E today.
Yes, unfortunately, it does happen where, you know, you hate your wife. And
she hates you.
She hates you, and she wants to take all your money, and you need somebody to help you. Call 1-800-DIVORCE. All right, here's Mike.
If you play in a conference that doesn't give you anything and you want to get in as an at-large, you'd better play somebody in the non-conference. That's the responsibility that you have in a lesser conference. Look, if they look at this and somebody says, well, I think this team is better, I'm not going to argue with them. That's fine. But they're contradicting themselves left and right, and committees should not be sending messages when their charge is to put the best teams in. This is the national championship event. If they're trying to send messages, then they should find another business. That's not what they should be up to.
Jay Billis there saying the committee confused a lot of people yesterday. Buy or sell, it's clear to you the NCAA punished teams who were tied to the FBI probe by either leaving them out, USC, Louisville, etc., or seeding them lower than they deserved, a.k.a. Arizona.
Yeah, I think that's a real deal. I mean, they said that USC has the best RPI of any team ever left out of the tournament. They were, I think, 38.
34.
What?
I think 34.
34 and made the finals of the Pac-12 tournament. And then people say the same thing about Louisville. They should have been a playoff team. Yeah, I think clearly the FBI stuff did weigh on this. But I also think that there were reasons. The USC gave them a reason to leave him out. And it sounds like like Arizona State getting in, a lot of that was the win over Kansas, right? And we've said this in the Pac-12 that...
They beat Gonzaga too, didn't they? Xavier. They beat Xavier.
They beat Xavier and they beat Kansas. And that was viewed better than anything that USC had, because USC didn't play anyone in the non-conference. So, yes, I think the FBI probe certainly had something to do with it. But USC gave them, and Louisville gave them, a reason to even put them on that bubble.
Well, you said buy or sell, it's clear the NCAA punished teams tied to the FBI probe. No question. I would buy that. It is very clear. You know, you can argue back and forth. Arizona State and Oklahoma and Syracuse, who got in, shouldn't have, and USC, Louisville, and Oklahoma State should. But like you said, it's a debate either way.
Yeah.
But USC, I don't know. I'm just going by what the pundits say. They're saying USC should be in this field.
Yeah.
The others are a little bit closer, but there's no question those three schools were. Is there another besides Arizona that was involved in the FBI probe that first?
Auburn.
And they got seated. They were a four, right?
Yeah, and they got seated low. Same thing with Arizona.
And Arizona got seated low. This is clearly, yeah, there was a, middle finger to those schools.
Well, that, and I think they're afraid of one of those teams making a deep run and having to vacate it. There is a real belief that not just with those four teams that we mentioned, there's a belief that someone could win a national title here and then a couple months from now have that title ripped away once this FBI stuff all comes out.
Man, the NCAA ain't rooting for Arizona, I'll tell you that.
Nope.
How does Arizona State get in a tournament? They had two wins. I get it. I get that they beat two number one seeds. That's fine. But they came in, what, eighth in the league? USC comes in second, plays in a championship game, and they can't get in the NCAA tournament? I thought this year, and I don't ever complain about this, ever, because I just always think there's three things that are going to happen. Billis is going to talk about the seeding. Vitale is going to yell about somebody not getting in. And it's going to be a great tournament in the end. But I think that this was awful by the NCAA committee.
There's Dan Dockich, also on the bracket in the committee. And Arizona State, a lot of people, at least in the western part of the country, seem to be complaining a bit about the Pac-12, who only got three teams in, two of them in the first four games. That's UCLA and Arizona State. Buy or sell, the Pac-12 just wasn't good enough to get more teams into the tournament this year.
See, and again, I'm no college basketball expert, but I do watch, Pac-12 hoops simply because it's here and it's what we cover. But I'll buy this. From my watching of the Pac-12 this year, and again, a lot of it was Oregon, watched Arizona a handful of times this year, and mostly when teams were playing them. Saw UW play a little bit as well. At no point, even with Arizona, did I think that there was a very good Pac-12 team. Arizona can at times. That DeAndre Ayton kid is filthy, and Arizona shows you glimpses of it, but there wasn't a consistently good Pac-12 team all year. So yeah, I buy this. The Pac-12, from what I saw this year, was the definition of average.
Yeah, so they got Arizona in as a four seed, mm-hmm, and then the other two teams that got in are in the first four games.
Yeah.
And then five teams in the NIT. Mm-hmm. Ooh, Bowie. That is bad. I don't know how you don't buy that. Like, what are you saying? Like, that Pac-12 got totally screwed?
Yeah.
I've seen some people say the Pac-12 got a little screwed.
No, I don't think so. You think Washington or Oregon should be in?
No.
Arizona State, I don't even think they should be in. I think Dockich is right about that.
Arizona State, I think, finished, by the way, ninth. I don't
USC,
think they finished eighth.
Glad they're playing Syracuse.
USC, they have a gripe. But, no, the league, there was one good team in this league. One.
Arizona.
Who, by the way, some of the draft history, you knew in the secondary in particular, they were preparing for this. They were preparing for Richard to be gone. They were preparing for Cam to be gone, for Earl to be gone. They were preparing for this. Now, I just think from talking to Pete Carroll at the Combine, I really do believe that he foresaw that there were some changes that were needed. I think it's going to infuse that football team with a certain sense of purpose and a certain, there's a certain excitement going forward that I think will still propel them to the playoffs. And I think as long as they have Russell Wilson, they're always going to be in it.
ESPN's Lewis Riddick on the Seahawks rebuild. He's pretty positive about it. So buy or sell, you trust Seattle's front office to actually be able to make a quick turnaround of this rebuild?
Yeah. I don't know about, in this year. I don't know that if they make the playoffs. I think the Rams and the 49ers are going to be the class of that division this year. And so I don't know if Seattle makes the playoffs, but I think that front office has earned the faith of a fan base. This is kind of what they built this thing on, right? They built it on competition. They built it on no one is safe and secure. And over the last couple of years, it hasn't been that. It's been guys that have been guaranteed spots because you're stars and they're tearing this thing down and they're going to go young and they've got a lot of cap flexibility now with some of these moves that they've made. They're going to go back into the draft and this is how they built Seattle. So they did it once before. Why wouldn't you think that they can do it again? This time, they even have what I think is a top six quarterback in the league in Russell Wilson. So quick turnaround. If you're telling me in 2 or 3 years Seattle could be legitimately back to being a Super Bowl contender, yeah, I buy that. But I don't think it's going to happen immediately. But a quick turnaround, absolutely.
Yeah, I buy that too. The only problem is the division, you know, with the Niners and with the Rams. It's real tough. But I just think this is more of actually, I don't know, I think it says more about John Schneider and Pete Carroll. The number of really, really freaking good players they had on that defense. Yeah. Like, it's coming into, like, if you didn't already notice, now you are because, you know, most of them won't be back. But you list those guys, that defense was truly special. And I think that it's coming into light now because they are leaving or there are injuries and or they're getting older. And so the Seahawks, you know, they still have plenty to work with Russell Wilson, and they're going to keep Sheldon Richardson and Earl Thomas. So they just got to draft well. I mean, if you don't draft well, then you're going to suck.
Well, because you look at that defense, right? KJ Wright drafted, Bobby Wagner drafted, Earl Thomas, Richard Sherman drafted. And then you look at guys that they brought in, whether it was Bennett, whether it was Averill, free agents they brought in. And
who's who?
For dirt cheap. By the way, those were all great contracts that they got those guys for. None of those were big, expensive deals. They built an elite defense, one of the best we've seen in the NFL. And they did it homegrown, or they did it with very smart deals. So, again, that's why I said I think they've earned some slack on the rope for people to give them the benefit of the doubt that they can do this again.
Drew Brees has said, I'm staying in New Orleans. The Saints have said, we're going to re-sign Drew Brees. And look, most people believe that deal is going to get done here in the next couple of days. It has to get done by the 14th before $18 million kicks in against the Saints cap. But the fact of the matter is, he's still not signed, and they're still not close. Mm-hmm. That is an invitation to other teams to call Drew Brees' agent and make an offer if they want.
So Adam Schefter on the Drew Brees situation. Buy or sell, there's actually a chance that Brees signs with a different team than New Orleans.
No, I don't buy it. At this point in his career and as close as New Orleans got last year, and again, remember the fluke play. Otherwise, New Orleans is in the NFC title game. Brees isn't going anywhere else. That guy is Mr. New Orleans. This is, and New Orleans isn't going to putz around and lowball him. This is just a matter of how many years they want to sign him. I don't think there's any chance Drew Brees goes anywhere else.
Yeah, I think teams have to kick the tires, but he's not going anywhere. All right, that's our Stock Watch. It is brought to you each Monday by Goldberg Jones when it comes to divorce, custody, and child support issues. Trust Goldberg Jones to help. 1-800-DIVORCE. Phone questions answered at no charge. Up next, we have fire news, mugshot news, and a space station may or may not hit Michigan. All in the news next. Here's Mike.
This is a tournament week edition of Primetime with Isaac and Sue.
Brought to you by Warren Allen Attorneys at Law.
On 1080 The Fan.
All right, here's what's ahead. Plenty more news in the NFL. We haven't even talked about the brackets. I'm going to break down the bracket game by game.
Your hot takes. This is my favorite time of the year where every dumbass that has a pen or a microphone in front of them pretends to know anything about 90% of the teams in this tournament.
Tiger Woods, y'all. But right now, March 12, 2018, in the news. I'm your noted newsman. Definitely top 700 this side of the Rocky Mountains.
Well, I'm going to say this. You're the best newsman on a non-news program based on the Willamette River. How about that?
Right.
Feel confident you're number one.
Love that.
In that region.
You know what? I'll take that.
Yeah, you fit a little niche there. It's right there in your sweet spot.
Hey, and how about this Love coming in the news?
Yeah, didn't think he'd like it at the beginning, but
he's
now...
He's like, what are they doing with this? Hey, now he looks forward to the news more than anything else. Because it's great content.
Well, the club.
Well, yeah. I mean...
Goes without saying.
Okay, so the mugshot of the woman who had a shootout with police over in Southwest Portland the other day that kind of screwed up the morning commute over there.
Yeah, Sarah Michelle Brown.
Yeah, it's been released, and she looks exactly, I mean exactly, as I had pictured.
Yep.
And I would like to talk about stereotypes.
Let's go for it.
Because
now, are you going to go with the black eye? Are you going to go with the self haircut there that was used like a Flobee on that?
Both. Just the general methy look.
Yeah. Very pale, not much sunshine.
Droopy eyes.
Yeah.
Just, you know, bad complexion. It looks like maybe a few things going on there.
Oh, yeah. Maybe I'm some just, crocodile that you've been taking on the side.
No, I'm just saying, like, when something like this happens, and the same is true for the samurai sword gal up in Camus, and you see the picture and you go, all right, it fits. Yeah. Like, I kind of feel bad about doing that. Like, I shouldn't do that. Well, but yet, I'm right a lot of the time.
Look, stereotypes and generalizations can be very damaging.
Help me reconcile this.
Well, this is I'm gonna try to help you out on this one. So again, stereotypes, generalizations, they're very dangerous, right? Can't just go around making sweeping judgments based on the old, don't judge a book by its cover.
Right.
But there's a reason why those exist. And there's a reason why that when you're walking through a bookstore and you see like a trashy romance novel and like Fabio's on the cover, you're like, yeah, I'm not reading that. 9 times out of 10, you're right. So there is something to this whole methy sort of vibe. I'm sure somewhere there's a doctor that has the flowy haircut and bad complexion and that methy vibe, but is like some sort of brilliant surgeon. But
I don't think so.
If you had to like pick a lineup and say, which one of these surgeons do you want? Are you picking that one? No. And for the most part, you're going to be right.
So it's the same applies to people who have done nothing wrong, but look like this.
Yes.
And we're kind of, we look with those judgy eyes and go, you know what? There's something going on here and I don't trust you.
Yeah. Look, I get a little bit of this. I understand that I look like a white supremacist. I understand that if you see me walking down the street, I probably look like I am going to stab you. And yes, there are times where I get a little bothered. I'm like, you've got to be kidding me, ma'am. Sorry, Richard Simmons walking in my neighborhood. I'm not trying to kill you. I'm just in my front yard. But at the same time, I understand. I get where you're coming from. And so I do think that we can't just throw blankets over everyone, blankets of sweeping judgment. But when you look like that, be aware, Sarah. Be aware that that's the look you're putting out into the universe.
Yeah, you wonder why people treat you so differently?
There you go.
Look at you.
Yes.
Look at you.
Yeah. Not that it's fair and not that it's right, but you need
to. But it's the way it is.
But it's the way it is.
Yeah. All right.
Now, I do something about mine, but I can't grow any hair and.
So we all do this, right?
You know, I can't change the way I look. Just kind of is the way it is.
Yeah, this guy says, you're going to be right when you're talking stereotypes most of the time because that's what makes us stereotype.
That's kind of my point. I just, like, anyone that says that they don't make snap judgments, horse crap.
Yeah.
We all make snap judgments immediately.
We do.
And, you know, you always feel bad when you're wrong, but it's part of... It's part of the sizing up process. When you first meet someone, you see someone walking down the street or in a parking lot, you got that Terminator vision going on, that red scratchy kind of computer image, and you're making all kinds of decisions. You have to go off something. You can't get to know everybody and know their backstory. You kind of have to look at someone and be like, nah, I'm going to go the other direction on this.
Yeah.
In the case of old Sarah Michelle Brown here, your feeling would be spot on.
Okay, next story. Well, actually, we'll get to the next story next because we got a break. I don't want to do another story and then we're long and then it's a mess and then Toronto comes in here, gets all pissed off. A space station may or may not hit Michigan. And we had a local fire today, fire news.
Yeah, it was a big fire.
Big fire. 4:43 on the fan.
This is a Tournament Week edition of Primetime with Isaac and Suk.
Brought to you by Warren Allen Attorneys at Law.
On 1080 The Fan.
All right, this is in the news for March 12th. I'm watching a video of, have you seen the ghost video in Ireland?
Yeah,
have you watched that?
Yeah, I saw that today. Now, I don't know if that's like new today or if it's been making the rounds, but I did see that. I saw it on Twitter.
Well, the video's from, it looks like, maybe even 2017, like January.
I know, but like I don't know if this has been a thing or if it's just now started to trend. But yeah,
I
saw it on Twitter today.
Dude, pretty crazy. Although you can't believe anything
No,
you know, it's like it could have easily been done by some
exactly
dude in his mom's basement.
There's all kinds of these videos. Like I follow this thing on Twitter. It's called creepy things or whatever. And there's all kinds of videos out there. There's one of a guy getting drugged down the hallway by like this shadowy figure, and you're like, oh my god, and then you're like, wait, that looks like the Predator. Like Schwarzenegger's villains dragging him down. You never have any idea what to trust anymore. So even if there was video evidence of Bigfoot or something, like some ghost, no one would buy it because it's so easy to edit things anymore.
According to Snopes, apparently they found a few things that indicate that the video featured some clever editing.
Yeah, it's been doctored.
Yeah.
That doesn't surprise me.
There were a few things about that. That is not in the news today. What is this fire over in Northeast Portland. Did you see the smoke out there when you were driving around today?
I did not see the smoke, and I was on the other side, so maybe I didn't catch it. But I saw this morning everyone was tweeting about it, like, oh, what's going on? Well, it turned out like some salvage yard caught on fire.
Yeah, it was really nothing. Like, I don't know, you see that and you're like, oh no, whoa.
But I guess it caught a couple houses, right? After the...
It did.
Yeah.
It did, yeah. The photos are pretty crazy. But
yeah, I guess there's some old junky cars, right?
Yeah, old cars on 75th and Killingsworth. Pile of scrap cars burned.
That sounds about right.
Again.
Right out
here we go again with this.
Yeah, Killingsworth. And you ever driven down just kind of in that area?
You know, I don't get down that way too often.
Can I tell you something? Don't. Like every now and then.
You son of a bitch.
Every now and then 84 will be all
Stop
clogged.
Stop stereotyping, Stuk.
Yeah,
God.
Jerk.
Every now and then 84 will be clogged up. And so like waves will tell me to go down, like go down Killingsworth to cut across town. And I just had this conversation the other day with someone as I was driving. I was talking to them. I was like, you know what? I never come down here. And now I understand why. It is not... It's not one of those areas like, you know what? This would make a really nice summer home. I think I should set up shop here.
This is a good question. What part of town, within reason, I'm not talking about like Scappoose.
Yeah.
What part of town do you get to least?
That I get to least?
Yeah, like do you see least? For me, it is outer southeast. Anything out east of 205 out that way, mm-hmm. Never over there.
Now, are we including never. Suburbs?
Like I said, within
Gresham,
within reason.
Well, that's outer southeast.
That's northeast. That's more northeast. Yeah.
Yeah, Gresham, like that area.
East of 205.
Yeah,
but you're pretty close to that area, though.
Yeah, and there's no reason for me to. And that's kind of why I'm really saying, like, there's no reason for me to be out there. None.
That's it for basically 205 east. I go there so little. That includes Gresham and Happy Valley and Oregon City. Like, I'm never there.
I'm sure those are wonderful places, but...
Yeah, nobody's saying anything bad. You just don't go over there.
No, there's no reason for me to ever be out there.
Yeah.
And at no point in my life am I like, you know what? Really got to make it out to Gresham a little more often. Yeah, really, really need to swing out that way.
If you think about where you live, there's a lot of places that... You really have no reason to go there.
No.
I mean, maybe there's a restaurant in there, or you have friends that live there, or whatever. But it's amazing how little you visit other parts of the city that you don't live near.
Well, here's the thing: when I lived in La Center, anything that I had to get off I-5 to go to was right out. So I was like, hey, where do you want to meet up? Anywhere along I-5. If
right
I have
town.
To get off I-5, you can go to hell. Now that I live on the east side, I live in Vancouver, it's anything along I-5, I'm out of. No, it needs to be on 205 or 84. I'm not dealing with I-5. It's like there is a real line for me that I don't want to cross over two major freeways. And yeah, you're right. There's just it takes a lot to pull me out of my... Basically, my route to work. If it's to or from me coming from the office, then I'm all for it. I'll go wherever you want. But if I have to venture off of that path, no, I'm out.
See, I'm guessing for a lot of people, St. John's is an area that they don't get up to. It's kind of tucked up there.
Yeah, that's kind of a cool
kinda
area.
Out of
though.
The way.
Yeah. A little out of the way. Yeah, you wouldn't like just
no. But yeah, you're
roll
not gonna.
Through it.
You're not gonna. They got like cool little food carts there, and it's you know the beach. But yeah, no one's ever just like, hey, let's drive out that direction.
Right. Unless you want to go take pictures of that beautiful bridge.
It is a beautiful bridge.
I I regret to inform you that my story about the space station is not pulling up.
Oh, boy.
I'm going to have to find an alternative way to deliver that piece of news to you.
Well, but to be honest with you, if a space station landed in Michigan, especially if it was like Detroit, wouldn't anyone really notice? It's just like, eh, yeah, it's Michigan.
I mean, I guess there are worse places it could land. But, you know, we've talked about this before. There's a space station from China that is falling. And it's going to enter the Earth's...
It's taking a bit of a tumble. So we can say that we know where that's going to land? Are you dying over there?
Oh, I just have allergies.
Okay.
Yeah, they don't know where it's going to land yet. It weighs 9.4 tons.
Oh.
And it is falling toward Earth. And they say that once it gets a little closer, they will be able to pinpoint better where it's going to land. But right now, they've got, for some reason, they've got Michigan targeted.
Now, I get that there's probably most of that's, you know, empty space. I mean, you know, maybe it landed in one of the lakes. But I would assume that that's kind of dangerous to have something that weighs 9 tons falling. I'm assuming at a very, very fast rate, and it's going to plummet to Earth. Yeah, that's kind of terrifying.
It's 34 feet by 11 feet, and it'll probably break up, but it's called Tiangong 1.
Yeah. What if that ends up on in like Rob's house? It just goes through your roof.
Well, I don't live in Michigan.
But... Well, I understand, but let's say you do have a little place out there in Michigan, and that thing goes through your roof. It's kind of a scary thing.
Yeah.
You had a garbage truck go through your house. That's a garbage truck. It didn't weigh 9 tons.
That's right. It is predicted to re-enter Earth's atmosphere in early April of 2018, give or take a week. There's a chance that a small amount of its debris may survive the uncontrolled re-entry and impact the ground.
Yeah, oh, so we're just...
Yeah, it's not...
Eh.
Yeah. You know.
Ah, stuff falling from space. Ah, we'll be fine.
Yeah.
The movies have taught me anything. Let's Bruce Willis the S out of this and we'll be A-okay. Got a better chance of like the airplane turds falling from you. Like that happens.
No little green men.
No. So disappointing.
Kind of boring. But it's a hefty craft. All right, that is in the news for March 12, 2018, every day 4:30. Your local news from your noted newsman. The Hot 5 at 5 is coming up next. Boy, do we have a lot of news. We've got NFL stuff. Ndamukong Suh. You know, him at all?
I would like to...
You ever heard of him?
I have heard of him. And I am wrong about a million things on this show on a daily basis, but this is another one of those I told you with Albert Haynesworth and I told you with Ndamukong Suh that by the end of this deal, it would be considered a terrible deal and he would not see the end of it. And sure enough, that came to fruition today.
We also have another break for your Portland Trailblazers. And did you hear what happened with Pat Casey? All that coming up next and some baseball signings. It's the Hot 5 at 5 on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.